Good morning. Good morning, church family. Our family is actually putting on this whole production this morning, so I just welcome you to worship, and I thank you for this opportunity to share with you, and I welcome the people online also. We lift you up also and hope that everything is well with you. We have the symphony choral today at 3 o'clock. There's an afterglow afterwards. Tickets, Nathan Bartholomew still has tickets. They're $20. You can get them from him this morning or at the door if you want. And then Communion Sunday will not be this week. It'll be next week with Pastor Devin. And then the Fresh Fry begins on St. Patrick's Day. So be sure to wear your green if you're a little bit Irish, and I am. And be sure to sign up downstairs to help Judy kind of facilitate everything. Just wanted to say hoorah to her because she's just amazing facilitating all that. And thanks to all the volunteers. And I also wanted to just put a shout out to his table. The last few weeks I've been going to the Chosen series after his table. And they have like little bands that come and play, and you know, just it's just a great fellowship time. So if you don't come to his table, it doesn't matter if you need a meal or not. It's just a wonderful time to fellowship. So I just want to thank all the volunteers throughout the entire community that comes and really puts that on. It's just amazing. I think that's all I have for announcements. Anybody else? You have anything?
Craft day is Saturday.
Okay, sign up downstairs. Is there a fee?
There's a $20
fee for that. Yeah, that should be a lot of fun. You just bring whatever project you want to work on, correct? Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yes. Yes, I announced that. Yeah. So, yes, thanks for all you do for that. Okay, so let's begin with our opening hymn, 534, Be Still My Soul.
Thank you.
Hear our opening prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you asking for your guidance and your blessing upon this congregation that comes to meet you in this place. Help us to see and hear you more. Help us to find your divine peace. And as we find your peace within, let us in turn help others to find you as well. Give us a supernatural boldness, Lord, that only you can give us so that we may give you glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. The first scripture reading is Isaiah 24, 3 through 4. You, Lord, give perfect peace to those who keep their purpose firm and put their trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever. He will always protect us. Now we'll have special music with Jenna Hodkin. Hi, Jenna. We're so pleased and blessed to have you again.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jenna. Jenna, you write that music, right? You didn't write that? Oh, okay. It is beautiful. I've never heard that song before, so thank you so much. Okay, so we're on to children's time with Claudia Royal. And if we have any children, come up. Cool.
Well, good morning. It's so good to see you all here.
I have one girl that showed up.
Yay. So, hey, did you guys enjoy playing in the snow yesterday? I'll move over a little bit here. Yeah, it was nice out, right? Sunny, and it was so warm, even though there was snow on the ground. Well, so yesterday I was cleaning out my daughter's room a little bit. She actually got married almost 2 years ago, so, you know, I didn't want to rush things. And anyways, I found a few things that reminded me so much of when she was about your age, maybe even a little younger. And this first thing is Ted Man. I know it's not the most creative name. He's just a teddy bear. But this was actually both our kids had. She must have gotten final custody since she was the youngest. But she had it in her room, and my kids both loved this little guy. He would travel with us everywhere, and he would bring them peace and comfort and joy and just little snuggles when we were traveling. And then this, I don't even know if you guys can recognize what this might be. What do you think this was? It was her blanket that, and she's going to turn 30, so this is a 30-year-old blanket. And this was really the thing that she absolutely had to have to feel peaceful and comfortable and be able to go to sleep at night. And she would, you know, kind of get under the blanket, and we would snuggle her and cuddle her and rock her, and it gave her a lot of peace and comfort. And so I was wondering, do you guys have anything that you kind of really enjoy that you keep close? Yeah. You forgot? Okay. So some kids don't have anything special like that, but my daughter actually needed two things. But anyways, so one of the things, though, as you get older, you realize maybe physical things aren't that good at bringing you peace and joy. But you know what is? We are so lucky. We have a God of peace. Jesus brings us peace and comfort and joy. And he actually said to his disciples before he went up to heaven, he said, "My peace I leave you, my peace I give to you." And he also said, "Do not let your heart be troubled." And because he didn't want us to worry or be fearful. And so how do you think we can kind of access peace from Jesus? What do you think? Do you have any ideas on that? No? Well, he said a lot of stuff when he was here, and he made lots of promises. And we know Jesus keeps his promises, so we can think about his words and his promises, and we can also pray to him. And when something's scaring us or worrying us, we can pray to him, and a lot of people call it giving your cares to God. So we can tell him all about all our problems, and he can bring us peace. And he left the Holy Spirit with us so that we don't have to remember to take our blanket with us. You know, if we didn't have this with us, it was a total meltdown. But you have the Holy Spirit with you all the time. Anytime you just can close your eyes, or you don't even have to close your eyes. You can just speak, and the Holy Spirit will hear you and bring you peace and comfort. So I think right before we go to Odyssey now, we can say a little prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the peace that you bring us and all the promises you give us. And we pray that we would remember those promises and that we could find comfort, whether it's in a thunderstorm or just a difficult time in our lives, Lord. And we just pray that you would watch over every single member of our congregation and all our children and keep everyone we know and love safe. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Oh, go to Odyssey. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's perfect. Okay, now we're going to take joys and concerns. I think Nathan, whoever's got, oh, a microphone. Does anyone have joys or concerns?
I want to first of all say thank you to the church family for the prayers for my son, Jeff. He's gone through the first chemo treatment, and while he's still suffering some pain and some cough, he's still very, very optimistic, and I ask for your continuing prayers. Thank you.
This is Marilyn Bracey. Just like to give you an update, and it's a very grateful update. Nate is doing really well. He's still in ICU with the swelling in the brain, but they're showing some hope. He actually opened his eyes this last week, and also is responding to his brothers and his parents that are there. It's very, very minimal at this time, but they're starting to take some of the equipment away from him as needed, and they're hopeful to putting him in long-term care in the hospital. So he's on his way. We sure give him lots of prayers and hopes that he will recover. And I thank you. The family thanks everyone that gives their prayers to him.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's the power of prayer right there, right? Amen.
Continue prayer for Beth Eisen, please.
As always, just asking that we all remember to pray for our president and his cabinet, all those in charge of our country. As the word has said, that we're to pray for those who rule over us. So we ask for wisdom and understanding for all of the many, many serious issues that our country and other countries around the world face. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny.
I have a blessing for this Sunday, actually, with Michelle and Gloria and Jenna all filling in and doing such a wonderful job. Oh, and Claudia, too. Such a wonderful job. Did I miss anybody?
I know. Our congregation is putting it together, right? I love it. We are the body. Thank you, Gwen.
I pray for the people in California that got their cars are covered with snow, so I keep praying for them. So, all right, and Pat, we're out of power, so we got to pray for them, make sure their power comes on.
Pat Morgan?
Yep. Okay. They're supposed to come back on Monday, they said, but.
That's still a long ways.
But it's my wife's birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday!
And it was also Dave's March 1st.
Well, we have a birthday.
Yeah.
We have to sing.
Can you play the birthday song?
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear.
And Dave. How old, 20? Anyone else? Okay. We'll bow our heads in prayer. Our holy and intimate Father, we are your children of faith, and we beseech you to answer the prayers of so many here in our congregations, spoken and unspoken. We also pray for the concerns of those we know and those that we do not know around the world. Father, we come to you on our knees with our hearts open to be amazed by the work you will do because we pray to you. And as you have always said, that you will listen, and the Holy Spirit will intercede. And we can know that we have peace, that you are in control of all situations. Heal us, Lord, inside and out, and those around us. We thank you that we can come to you and talk to you like a child to a father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. I think we're at the hymn 377. Those old-fashioned songs. Okay, I just wanted to say that we have loving the world, the wider world, with our gifts, not only just monetary gifts, but our gifts of talents and everything. It really shows in this church, and we just want to take the time to thank you so much for those. You can give online. Or there's the box on the organ to give, however you feel comfortable with. We just thank you so much for continuing to do what we can in the community and around the world and in this community. So I'm just going to say a quick prayer for that and for God's blessing. Lord, we are so grateful for all that you do for us, from the least tiny thing to the most amazing thing. Please take our gifts and multiply them for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we're on to the second scripture reading, which is John 14:15-27. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor who will stay with you forever. He is the Spirit who reveals the truth about God. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees or knows him. But you know him because he remains with you and is in you. When I go, you will not be left alone. I will come back to you. In a little while, the world will see me no more, but you will see me. And because I live, you also will live. When that day comes, you will know that I am with the Father, and that you are in me, just as I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. My Father will love those who love me. I, too, will love them and reveal myself to them. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, Lord, how can it be that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, those who love me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and my Father and I will come to them and live with them. Those who do not love me do not obey my teaching, and the teaching you have heard is not mine, but comes from the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am still with you. The Helper and the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and make you remember all that I have told you. Peace is what I leave with you. It is my own peace that I give you. I do not give it as the world does. Do not be worried and upset. Do not be afraid. The words that Claudia mentioned this morning, how perfect. So this is the word of God for the people of God. Okay. So I wanted to talk about experience God's peace. If you ask people what peace means, they'll give you a variety of answers. Peace and quiet, tranquility, freedom from disturbance, lack of oppressive thoughts and feelings, harmonious relationships, time without war, and many more. I could go on and on, right? So while those answers aren't bad or wrong, they are usually from a viewpoint that doesn't include God. God is in the equation. The word's peace is different from God's peace. When our circumstances grow dim, we don't feel like we're at peace. Personally, I struggle with peace like God's peace. I pretty much have peace, but, I wanted that ultimate peace that you can find. 2020 through 2022 has been quite the difficult years for a lot of us. And we're just coming out of the pandemic, and it just seems like everything's so out of control. You know, Ukraine is at war, and we see a lot of shootings in the U.S., and there's just a lot of other things. So I started poking around into a Bible study that was online, speaking about peace that surpasses all things. You know, the one that they talk about in the Bible, the one that Apostle Paul wrote us about so much. Somehow, no matter what his circumstances were, he found contentment in every situation. And even went so far to encourage others despite his situation. He was writing churches when he was in a jail cell. I wanted to find that type of peace, that contentment no matter what my surroundings are. So in John 14:27, Jesus says, Don't let your hearts be troubled, because although we concern ourselves with temporal struggles, he's offering a permanent solution with his peace. It doesn't matter how intelligent we are, how decorated our resumes are. It doesn't matter how many inventions are credited to our name, or how smart and creative and wise we are. Personally, we don't know how to create peace. The creator of peace is the one who created us. He is our Lord and our Creator and our mighty God and our everlasting Father. Today, we are going to dive into what God's peace truly means and how we can experience it in our lives. This peace that God gives may be a little bit beyond our comprehension, but it's not beyond our grasp. It's readily available to all of us if we want it to have peace with God. There are no three easy steps to peace with God. There is only one, and his name is Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, God put all the sins of the world, Jesus, on Jesus' shoulders, past, present, and future. To me, that's just mind-boggling to think of it in that way. Past, present, and future. Wow. When we accept the gift from God and put our faith in him, we get the righteousness of Christ. The righteousness, according to Romans 4:23 and 24, is credited to us who believe in him who raised Jesus from the dead. We all want God's peace, but until we come to a saving relationship with Jesus and receive his gift and are saved, we'll never have it. It is best stated like this: if we want peace with God, we must first have peace with God. So when we sin, and of course we will, this does not cancel out the peace that God gives us. When we are justified by God, it's a one-time event. We are not justified over and over. Praise God that our human condition doesn't render our saved spiritual condition as null and void. So what does peace with God do for us during uncertain times? It grants us hope. Hope that the life we live on earth is just the beginning of our forever life with God. It's just a stepping stone that we're on. It's just a journey to get closer to him. As followers of Jesus, people who have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, were given life abundant and life eternal. They go hand in hand. Because we have the hope of Jesus and his Holy Spirit guiding us, an abundant life is possible here on earth. When we've taken our final breath and our temporary body on this earth, we are ushered into eternity. This life is a forever home, is eternal and abundant, but they are both just a condition of what was begun here on this earth. If you know Jesus, if you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, then you can rest assured that whatever earthly scenarios or circumstances are weighing on you, they don't have eternal power over you. What a blessing to think. In light of that, what waits us is the true home. This life is just a tiny segment in time. The peace we have with God is what guarantees our hope and what's to come. In John 10:10, the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come in order that you might have life and life abundant. Now that we have been put right with God through faith, we have peace and God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection 3 days later is a gift that brings us eternal life when we receive it. Once we receive this gift, our salvation is never in question. Never in question. It brings us peace. It brings us freedom and the gift of salvation. But life can spiral out of control, whether it's from our circumstances or our own poor choices, or when that occurs, the peace of God feels distant and perhaps even non-existent. When Jesus has saved us and we have peace with God, we're still susceptible to the worries and concerns of this world. Sometimes situations that occur can wreak havoc in our lives. Not only that, but our sinful desires get in the way of choosing what God best and trust in him. We worry, we complain, and we fret over so many unnecessary things. But we may be saved, but we're still a work in progress. And because we allow external pressures and internal battles to have their way with us, the peace of God is not always apparent in our lives. To experience the peace in God, let's dive into two Bible passages to see how we can make peace of God our constant reality. To be controlled by human nature results in death, but to be controlled, I'm sorry, this is Romans 8, 6 through 11. To be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace. And so people become enemies of God when they are controlled by human nature, for they do not obey the law. And in fact, they cannot obey the law. Those who obey their human nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by sinful nature, but by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And if the Spirit of God lives in you, you're all set, right? A Spirit-controlled mind leads to life and peace, and letting our sinful nature reign brings death. Think about it. When we cave in and entertain sinful thoughts that are far from God's best, our minds don't have the peace of God. Not because God isn't near, not because our sin has put a barrier between us and God. That is why. The peace of God and our sinful nature cannot coexist. But when we simply put to our God trust in, and trust in his ways and obey him, we are no longer succumbing to our sinful nature. And instead, we experience his perfect peace. I'm sure you have all felt that at one time or another in your lives. And in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, this is the second reading that we're diving into. It says, don't worry about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for what you need, always asking him with a thankful heart. And God's peace, which is far beyond human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in union with Christ. The peace of God covers us like a blanket. When we stop worrying but pray about everything instead, that's right, everything large and small. I have been praying for my second key fob. I lost it like, I don't know, maybe 2 months after I bought my truck. And I'm still praying for it a year and a half later. But I know somehow God's going to answer that prayer and that thing is going to turn up because it's got to be somewhere. I couldn't have drove home without it. So. But, you know, that's my small little thing that I need. But I keep praying about it. I'm sure it'll turn up someday. Maybe after I sell the truck. That's what happened to my husband one time. But anyways, we turn that burden and our hardship that we're carrying over to God. And when we do, his peace that passes all understanding, floods our hearts and our minds. It is so beyond our understanding, it's not something we can create, but something that we obtain when we choose to trust, obey, and walk in faith. And I know that key fob is going to show up. I just know it. My husband keeps fretting over it, and I keep telling him, don't worry, we'll find it. If you are a follower of Jesus, find comfort and hope that you are at peace with God. And then seek God in all the ways so that nothing will be between you and the peace of God. We often look for peace in our relationships. The easiest way to have peace is to first have peace with God, followed by the peace of God. This allows us to see things from a heavenly perspective, doesn't it? Which that infiltrates our earthly relationships. But we don't always have that viewpoint. Sometimes our lack of peace with others is because we are stubborn and we don't want to meet them in the middle and we don't agree. We think arrogantly that our way is the best way. Another reason we don't have peace with others is because we don't want things to go well for them. In fact, maybe we might be a little bit jealous, or maybe it's because they've hurt us. We don't want them to flourish, but instead we want them to fail. But we can learn how to live in peace with others from a variety of verses in God's word. When someone persecutes us, we bless them in return. And that's Romans 12, 14. Never pay back evil with evil, but instead be honorable. And that's in Romans. Don't retaliate with insults, but pay back with blessing. It's difficult to do that, though, especially if someone has hurt you. But even when we're blessed, those who persecuted us have chosen not to pay back evil and be honorable in our actions. There still may not be peace, but It's because people are people. And as good as we try to be, and as much good as we try to do, we still fall short of perfection. Not every relationship can be salvaged, but let's do everything we can to ensure that we did our part. Let's love and be tender-hearted towards each other. Let's believe and hope for the best for everyone. Let's consider things from their point of view and apologize when we need to make things right. Let's pray for God to do a work in us and also in them. And let's ultimately remember that people are not our enemies. We have a real spiritual enemy who loves it when we battle. And he loves it when we accuse each other. And if we blame people, circumstances, or struggles for our stress and lack of peace, then we are inevitably giving them control over whether we live in peace or not. So let's not give anything or anyone in our lives this kind of power. There is only one peace bringer, and his name is Jesus, and he is the Prince of Peace. As a follower of Jesus, be comforted in the fact that your salvation brings peace with God, and then with each day that you follow Jesus and allow him to lead your life, you'll experience the peace that God has intended for you. But even when we have God's peace in our lives, it doesn't equate with perfection in this world until we reside in our heavenly and eternal home with God. We won't experience the perfect perfection, but we can have some peace within us. So that causes us to think that God's peace equals perfection on earth, but it really doesn't. Our expectations, like Pastor Stephen Furtick said, if I'm going to live at peace, I've got to surrender my expectation of perfection. Peace isn't found in a place or in a set of circumstances that are problem-free. So while we are on this earth, and earth is our home, we will have hardships and difficulties. We'll go through seasons where the pain is intense because pain accompanies struggling relationships, struggling economies, and struggling health crises. These outside pressures don't have the power to take away God's perfect peace through Jesus Christ. For it goes on to say, it's not that he delivers me from it, it's that he meets me in it. It is so true. And when we look back, we see the footprints in the sand, don't we? He meets us in the deepest time of need with unexplainable, unfathomable, and inexplicable peace. This peace of God is unrivaled, and it's beyond compare. No one or nothing is even in the same class as this perfect peace and mysterious peace. Even though it's beyond our comprehension, we know when we have God's peace, and we know when we don't. When I found out I had cancer, I knew God was in control. I had peace at that time. And I found myself actually, I was on the phone for 4 days calling people to tell them because I didn't want them to find out other than through me that I had cancer. And I found myself consoling them. And I thought, wow, you know, because I was at peace with it. And I just knew that God was going to give me another reason to share my faith. And it really has been that experience. Now I will have been in remission in 3 years in June. So amen to that. So that wasn't part of my sermon at all. But it just came out, I guess. So I guess what I'm saying is you do know when you have God's peace. And I'm sure you have all experienced that at one time or another. So in the midst of unspeakable pain, and yet somehow we have the calmness over us, don't we? And we experience it when we're financially struggling and we're unsure how to pay a bill. And yet we're amazed that we can rest on God's provisions. We experience it when our health is in jeopardy and we don't know when healing will come. Yet we can't explain the serenity we are living in. That's the peace of God in the imperfect situations. Life is not perfect, but God is. God doesn't always take us out of our valleys, but he will always bring us through them. It is often in the unknown that God shows us the most powerful revelations about who he is and who we are. We can still trust and rest in our God during life's challenges and exhibit faith during our own torrential situations and downpours. It's this kind of faith that pleasures God. In Philippians 4:6-8, it says, "Don't worry about anything, but in all prayers, ask God for what you need, always asking him with a thankful heart. And God's peace, which is far beyond human understanding, will keep your hearts and mind safe in union with Christ. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace, and in the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." At the start of the new year, people offer all sorts of predictions. Nevertheless, I believe we could take the statement from Jesus as a prediction for any year. See what Jesus predicts for the coming year. First, in the world, you will have tribulation. You can count on it. You will face tribulation this year. Jesus promises it. It will be so. The ancient Greek word translated tribulation has the idea of stress and pressing. Someday, you will have a time of rest and unending happiness. But this is for heaven. It's not for earth. Understanding this removes a false hope. Struggling Christians often hope for the day when they will laugh at temptation and life will be one effortless victory, one after another. While we are in this world, we are promised a struggle, yet there is peace in Jesus. Your current area of struggle may one day pass away, but after that, there's always a new area to conquer. We are promised something greater than tribulation. Be of good cheer. He has overcome the world. In this, Jesus shouted out the truth of his victory. It is an amazing statement from a man about to be arrested, forsaken, rejected, mocked, and tortured, and then eventually executed. The glory of the resurrection made it clear, and Jesus could truly say, "I have overcome the world." Knowing all this, Jesus made a sincere offer, the gift of courage for the tribulation we must face, knowing not as a fact in a history book that Jesus has overcome the world, brings us courage. There is no reason to be downcast. If we believe in his victory and by faith share his overcoming, we have good cheer. We also have what he offered at the beginning of the verse, peace. Remember the circumstances surrounding this opening statement to the verse. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." At that very moment, that's when Judas met with Jesus and the enemies, Jesus' enemies, to plot his arrest. Jesus knew that he would be arrested, forsaken, rejected, mocked, tortured, and executed before that next day was over. Finally, notice that Jesus did not promise peace, but he offers it. He said, "You may have peace." That's something that we have to choose. We have to find that quiet place where we can sit and just meditate and talk to our Father. People can follow Jesus, yet also deny themselves the peace that he gives us. That in me, you may have peace. We will not find real peace anywhere else but through Jesus. We can predict tribulation. We can look back on the fact that Jesus has overcome the world. And when we really receive his victory as our own, we'll find that peace. This one prediction, we are assured, will come true. And I wanted to share with you this one song from Casting Crowns. I don't know if any of you know Casting Crowns, but I thought the words of the song was amazing. It says, "Hold it together, everybody needs to be strong. But life hits you out of nowhere and barely leaves you holding on. And when you're tired of fighting, chained by your control, there's freedom in surrender. Lay it down and let it go." So when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, you're not alone. Stop holding on and just be held by Jesus. Your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne. Stop holding on and just be held. If your eyes are on the storm, you'll wonder if I love you still. But if your eyes are on the cross, you know I always have and I always will. And not a tear is wasted. In time you'll understand. I'm painting beauty and the ashes. Your life is in my hands. So when you're on your knees and answers seem far away, you're not alone. Stop holding on and just be held. Your world's not falling apart. It's falling into place. I'm on the throne. Stop holding on and just be held. So lift your hands and lift your eyes. In the storm is where you'll find me. And where you are, I'll hold your heart. I'll hold your heart. Come to me and find your rest in the arms of the God who won't let go. So when you're on your knees and answers seem far away, you're not alone. Stop holding on and just be held. And with those words, I say amen. I hope that wasn't too long. I just kept going. I don't know what happened. Okay. So we have praise music with Nathan.
So for all who are able, let's stand for our last song. Nice job, Michelle.
Thank you.
Let's give Michelle a round of applause for the good job she did.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. With my God is with me. Whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh, Lord, you never let go. Through the calm, through the storm, oh, Lord, you never let go. Every high, every low, Lord, you never let go. Lord, you never let go of me. I can see a light that is coming from a heart that holds on. A glorious light beyond all compare. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know you here on the earth. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh, Lord, never let go. Through the calm and through the storm. Oh, Lord, never let go. Every high and every low. Oh, Lord, never let go. Lord, you never let go of me. I can see a light that is coming from a heart that holds on. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you. Yes, I can see a light that is coming from a heart that holds on. There will be an end to your troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you.
high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. Oh no, you never let go, through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go, every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. Lord, you never let go of me. Lord, you never let go of me.
Amen. What a great morning, right? Amen. Look at us. Just producing God's glory. I'm so happy. Anyways, let's go to our benediction here. I'm going to quote Romans 15:13 because it just seems so fitting. Boy, was I in the Bible a lot here. May God, the source of hope, fill you with all joy and peace by means of your faith in him, so that your hope will continue to grow by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord bless you and take care of you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you, and may the Lord look on you with favor and give you everlasting peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have a great week.